great chance to implement our system, teach a lot of things, learn from both some of the good and bad, get a chance to get some of these new guys that are going to be key components involved, where you get a little bit of rapport going with the Deshaun Jackson, getting Jordan Reed back, continue to get Andre Robertson, Pierre going, and do some things that we've done in the past in the run game. So we feel really good about what we've accomplished and looking forward to get going in Richmond.
Well, guys, what better way to start the new season than with new offensive coordinator Sean McVay and a little Tupac?
I'm already fired up.
That's right.
Can't even started yet.
Of course, it is the hip-hop guru with me here, George Wallace, who happens to also, as his day job, be the Redskins beat reporter. I am Rob Woodfork.
Am I going to be able to swing that down in Richmond as hip-hop guru and Redskins?
If you approach it the right way.
Think I can get it done?
I think because we have some vehicles in the WTOP fleet that have, like, you know, a little drop down.
Oh,
little,
really?
Yeah. We have some of those.
All right. Now little, we're talking.
Dice in the mirror.
I didn't know we were switching it up this year.
That's right. We're going down in style.
Okay.
And presumably the Redskins are as well. They've got a completely new look. Thank you for the song. That's why. Changes. Lots of changes.
I see what you did there.
See what I did there?
I do.
See what I did there?
I like it.
This isn't for no reason.
Start.
This is all by design. And the design of the offense should look very similar to what we saw last year. Jay Gruden plans to keep the offense relatively similar to what we had in place the last two seasons under Robert Griffin III there as quarterback.
And Uncle Mike.
Uncle Mike and
Cousin Kyle.
Sean McVay now at the helm as offensive coordinator at the ripe young age of 12.
Yeah.
I'm exaggerating.
Yeah.
But he's 27.
Yeah, he's very close.
He's running the offense, and it's going to be very similar to what the Shanahans run. Do we think there's going to be that level of continuity there, is it going to be enough change?
No, I think it's good. I think that's, you know, McVay was a Kyle guy, Mike guy, but he's also a Tampa Bay guy, too. So he's been around. You know what I mean? He can be a Gruden guy, too. So that is good that they're going to keep that continuity, and Griffin really likes him. They get along. McVay is a bright young genius as far as offensive as mine is concerned. So that is a good thing, and I think that's going to you're going to see that pay off.
I guess we'll see. He's certainly got the weapons at his disposal. The receiver position is the deepest that I remember it in Washington. You've got Pierre Garçon coming off of a career year. Deshaun Jackson coming in. He's coming off a career year with the Eagles. Andre Roberts, who you thought was going to be the second receiver when he was signed here. He might be the third or fourth guy, depending on what happens with him and Santana Moss. And they have a rookie guy that they like a lot, and we'll talk about Ryan Grant here in a little bit. But
don't forget Leonard Hankerson coming back from his injury.
Leonard
as well.
Hankerson coming back, and that's a guy who's probably not going to make a team, if we can be quite honest about that. So the receiving position,
you don't
very
think Hankerson's going to make the team?
No, come on. Really?
Interesting. Okay.
No. I mean, he's a third-round pick. You'd like to see him make it, but what's his body of work said?
He can't stay healthy.
Healthy, and he's had one good game by my count.
That's it.
So, it's going to be an uphill battle
for him. That is going to be an interesting position to watch.
It is.
Because Santana's, as he always likes to say, now he's the old guy, but Santana's still heart and soul. I mean, Santana's... He could still bring a lot to this team. So
and
we'll
last
see.
Season, you needed a catch. When it was the clutch, and you had to have a catch. He was the guy that made it. So I don't think that goes away. Garçon is a nice piece. Jackson, obviously, an X factor. But, I mean, who has the track record of Santana Moss in terms of making the big catch when you have to have it? So.
And you still have Aldrick Robinson could be on the outside looking in, too.
Exactly. So very deep, seven guys deep by my count? So this could be a very interesting position battle. Oh, and don't forget Jerry Rice Jr.
He just signed, that's right, just a couple weeks ago. That's right, Jerry Rice Jr.
Yeah, I say that in jest.
Of course.
I think I've caught more passes than he
and
has.
And you probably will still by the time. But hey, you know what? Injuries are a big part of this game, so you never know what's going to happen.
Speaking of injuries, the offensive line, which oddly enough didn't suffer a lot of injuries last season, they are going to have a little bit of an overhaul. At least two new starters, as many as four. I mean, really the only sure thing is at left tackle with Trent Williams. So both guard spots, for all intents and purposes, up for grabs. Lichtensteiger moving to center. How do you think this one is going to...
Well, it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be position battles, obviously, but...
You know, you still have Sean Laval, who they signed, Chris Chester.
Yeah.
Corey's going to be at center, Trent on the other side. But they really do like Moses, the kid from UVA. But he's not ready to go yet. So he's going to be there for some depth and hopefully jump in at some point. But And it seems like we talk about the offensive line every year as far as it being a question mark.
But the Hogs aren't walking through that door.
No, they're
not. So, yeah, we're talking about the offensive line every year. Running back, obviously set in the starting position with Alfred Morris.
Yeah.
You think he's going to be productive. You think he's going to be durable because he has been his first 2 years in the league. After him, completely wide open.
Yeah. Well, you still have Roy Helu. Evan Royster could be on the outside looking in this year, his fourth-year guy.
Yeah.
And some new guys coming in as well. So, and you know, Darrell Young's your solid fullback. That's
exactly.
Not changing.
No, that's not changing. And you hope that there's more of a role for him because he is a pretty versatile piece. And
he can
was
catch too.
He's slightly underutilized under Mike Shanahan.
Yeah, I agree.
So we should see more of him if Jay Gruden is to earn his money this season.
We've agreed a lot so far on this.
I know. We're not butting heads
change.
Here.
Well, you see, you started it with change.
I did.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I guess that didn't change. We agreed a lot last year, too.
True,
we both
did.
Picked these guys to go 11-5 last year. So.
Oh, that's right. You have to keep bringing that up. I thought we were done. I thought last year is last year.
We're turning the page?
Yeah. Don't you always say last New Year? Like the players, you're asking about last year's motivators. Look, you're 3-13 last year. Last year's over.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks.
And we'll get on the record for their season prediction.
Not now.
No, not even close to now.
Oh, okay.
No. I'm saying like
still
before,
sitting here with you.
Before the season. I told you, I don't make season predictions until the preseason is played.
Oh, I didn't know you did that.
All yeah, right. That's me. Yeah, I got to see training camp. I got to see, because you got to see how the injuries play out.
Well, and for people who come out and say, oh, this team's going to be 7-9. Come on. You don't know anything.
Oh, did you see like all the prognostications for
insane.
The Redskins is like they're the worst team ever.
The worst team ever. Griffin's the worst quarterback in the league. Worst franchise.
Yeah.
Jay Gruden was the worst head coach that was hired this offseason.
Yep.
I think it's hilarious.
It's great, but this is what happens to them every offseason.
Yeah.
Whether it ends up being fuel for them being better, I don't know. But I mean, they're not going to be the worst team. I can assure you of that.
I don't think so either.
As a matter of fact, I don't even think they'll be last place.
I can put
that on the record
the
right now.
The offense has too much potential. By the way, we haven't even touched on Jordan Reed yet coming back.
Exactly. We should have lumped him in the receivers.
Too much potential. Now, potential doesn't win you any games.
No.
I get that. But it's all going to be key on if Griffin bounces back, if Griffin is able to get better and put last year behind him. Because if he does not get better, then this offense is not going to go.
And that's actually where we're going next is RG3.
Look at that.
See?
Okay, I didn't know you were talking about the quarterback.
Yeah, man. We're just
that's we're going to do this whole thing without mentioning Robert Griffin III.
No.
Okay.
I mean, who talks about the quarterback?
All right.
It's not like this is a quarterback league or anything. But RG3 is back.
Uh-huh.
This is the first time he's had a proper offseason.
Correct.
Start to finish.
Yep.
Not rehabbing the knee. Not going all in for week one. None of that crap. It's all about getting ready for this season and improving as a passer. Do we think he'll get back to the 2012 form?
Honestly?
Yeah.
You're asking me right now?
I'm asking you right now. You're on the spot.
Yes, I do. There's too much for him to prove, and last year just destroyed his image, I think.
Oh, yeah.
With everything off the field. Correct, with everything.
Yeah.
And I think that he has too much to prove. He just wants to go out there and play. So much has happened in the first 2 years of this kid's career.
Mm-hmm.
It's unreal. Just from everything, from being drafted, the savior of Washington, D.C., the knee injury, back and forth with the quarterback, not practicing, no offseason last year, all in for week one. You know, the documentary.
Yeah.
He's had a whole career's worth in 2 years. He's 20, was he 24?
Yeah.
So I think he has a lot to prove, and I think he wants to prove it.
I think you're right.
Again, that's
I know.
It. I'm done.
We might have to split up this podcast group, man, because we're too like-minded.
This is too crazy.
We're too like-minded. But I agree with you. I think he does return to 2012 form. Now, maybe he won't throw 20-5 like he did as a rookie, but I think his numbers may be closer to maybe 25-12.
Yeah, and the form you want to see, you're right. It doesn't necessarily have to be that, but...
Right.
Score
touchdowns and be right side up at the touchdown. And that's why I don't think last season was so horrible for him individually.
Right.
Like, as a team, they were a nightmare.
Right.
But his individual performance, he threw, 16 touchdowns, 12 picks?
12, yeah.
It's not terrible.
No.
I mean, we lived through years of that with Gus Frerotte.
Right.
And, you know. So, I mean, it's not terrible. I mean, it was a little Jason Campbell-esque. It was mediocre, but it wasn't horrible.
But then you look at the other thing we forgot to mention with him is being benched for three games, too, at the
end of last exactly.
year.
It wasn't like this nightmare scenario. Like, Eli Manning, who's a two-time Super Bowl winner, I might add, throwing 27 picks.
Right. That's,
I don't think Griffin has that in him.
No, I don't think so.
So I think he gets closer, and as is usually the case. I mean, we had two extremes. 2012 was really good. They won the division.
Right.
You know, he had a great season. And then last year, 3-13, he plays middle of the road.
They didn't win the division.
Yeah, no. They were the opposite of winning the division. So I think the truth lies somewhere in between. He may not have a 100 quarterback rating like he did as a rookie.
Right.
But I think he is markedly improved from what he was last year. And I think the Redskins win at least three or four more games than they did the year before.
But you're not making any predictions?
Not yet.
Okay.
Now, how do you think he gets along with Gruden and McVay? I know it's still pretty early in the process, but I mean, at least they've had an offseason to sort of work together. And
from everything that we can tell and we've talked and we've heard is that they get along just fine. I think that he and McVay had a relationship last year.
Yeah.
I've heard Griffin say that in the past. And I think Gruden has come in and he knows that he's going to lean on McVay a lot for that, which is good. You have somebody that's worked with the quarterback, and it's not, you don't have a brand new head coach, brand new offensive coordinator coming in and trying to mold the quarterback to your style after he's had, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I think that this is, it is a good thing. And I think Gruden is just, he's more, he relates to these guys more so far. Now, you put everything in perspective. He hasn't lost any football games yet.
Gruden. Right. 0-0.
Yeah, so, you know, this team starts 0-6. Okay, fine. You may hear some stuff.
Yeah.
But I think for now, I think that the relationship is good, and I think that everything you're going to see so far, at least early on, is going to be positive.
Yeah.
They have to be. You have to. You can't afford.
They can't be worse than they were last year.
I mean, you can't have.
The bar is pretty low.
This training camp, you can't have anything like we had last training camp where he said, she said.
Right.
You can't do it. You can't have any dysfunction between the head coach and the quarterback in July and August.
Yeah.
Or else this is just not going to work.
Right. I don't think we'll have that.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
What we do have is a few players to watch out for.
Okay.
Because we have to give the people something to look forward to. Three players.
Not hearing us every week, that's not good enough for you.
It's good enough for me.
All right, well, that's fine.
I don't know.
Sorry,
we have to entice others. Three players to watch out for in this training camp on the offensive side of the ball, in case you guys haven't noticed, we're focusing on offense in this podcast. Ryan Grant. This
sure.
is a name that we brought up a little bit earlier. He's a rookie, middle-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Guy doesn't carry a lot of expectation, but coaches like him a lot. He's got a little bit of size,
yep.
got a little bit of speed. Got all the things you like, and he looks like a guy that might be a little bit of a surprise to make the roster.
I like it. All right. I'll go
so
with that.
We need to watch out for him.
Okay.
And George's favorite player, Lake Seastrunk.
Is it my favorite player?
That is your favorite
okay.
player. Or at least it's your favorite name to say.
Oh, well, that's a given.
Yeah,
it's a given.
Young Mr. Lake Seastrunk, 6 feet. I think we discussed this
yes,
in a prior podcast.
And we saw in the OTAs, and granted, like I said before, there's no...
He's in shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he can move.
He can move. And that's key to that third down running back role, which, as we mentioned, is wide open. So if you don't like Roy Helu, or if you think that Seastrunk gives you a little bit of a spark plug there in the backfield, since you missed out on getting Darren Sproles...
I did?
Well...
They did.
You, as in the Redskins.
Sure.
You missed out, because I think you were responsible for recruiting
sure,
him, and you dropped the ball on that one. But Lake Seastrunk could be the man to watch there as the third down back. Also, and we mentioned him earlier, Morgan Moses at mm-hmm. right tackle.
Yep.
If he can start sooner rather than later, that frees you from the Tyler Palumbis purgatory at right tackle.
You need freeing from that. No, but you're right. He is going to be one guy to watch.
Yeah, and the veterans are all proven. So it's, you know, it wasn't by design that I listed rookies as players to watch out for. But, I mean, we know Santana Moss. We know, you know, all the veteran guys. You know what you're getting with Chris Chester and mm-hmm. some of those other cats. So it just makes sense that these rookies who have an opportunity to contribute right away are the guys to kind of watch out for and see how that progression rolls. All right, guys. Well, that's the offensive side of the ball. We're breaking this down a little bit because, quite frankly, football teams are very large.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to address a 50-some-odd man roster.
Yeah,
actually, 90 now.
Camp,
yeah, it's
yeah.
90 now.
Yeah.
So we will break down defense and special teams in a separate podcast forthcoming. So definitely check that out on WTOP.com. Rob Woodfork with you. George Wallace alongside. And we will be back talking defense and special teams.